clinking of heavy chains reverberated off the stone walls of this dreary basement as I secured a lump of clammy flesh to the cold steel table at its center. Far removed from the eyes and ears of those who would intervene, I heaved a sigh of relief. Hunting isn't easy, not so long as humans continue to develop their technologies and magic. "You can sleep when you're dead, Mr. Weller," I said with impatient contempt, wiping the sweat from my brow. "It's been 10 long years and I'm starving, so wake up." Even unconscious, Mr. Weller's gaunt face was pinched in suffering. Beads of sweat were trickling down into his hairline as an ominous death rattle breached his lips, crackling through the new silence that pressed in around us. "You see a lot of runners in my line of work, but tonight's quarry had gone to great lengths to escape the inevitable." A cooling wetness slid down my wrist, a reminder of blood magic's sloppiness, its portals especially so. Still, needs must when this she-devil drives. Overhead, a yellow bulb flickered as I crossed to a table spread for tonight's feast. Among the knives, syringes, and forceps, I reached for a rather innocent first aid kit. I'd only just finished wrapping my wrist when my client's wet, rhythmic breathing grew fitful, his chains clinking as he began to stir. "Oh, welcome back, Mr. Weller. So glad you could join me for one final meal." I flashed a predator's grin over my shoulder as I replaced the kit, a surge of anticipation licking up my spine. The man's gaze snapped to mine. What had been simmering panic suddenly exploded into full-blown terror. "No, no, no!" he cried, rattling the floorboards above as he thrashed against his heavy chains, a frantic animal caught in the hunter's trap. "Shriek like a banshee all you want," I told him, as a new coughing fit swallowed his next scream. "There's miles of forest between us and whoever might give a damn." This can't be happening," he choked, his lungs gumming up as our contract came to its final phase. "This is impossible." "Impossible is what I do, Mr. Weller." I turned back to pluck a favorite blade from the spread of instruments before crossing back to tonight's meal. With middle age having stolen much of his hair, Mr. Weller's head glistened with sweat, his scruffy chin jutting out in defiance, even as fear left his eyes locked on my knife. "Oh, don't give me that indignant look," I chastised him. "Before I even engraved that beer mark upon your soul, I warned you. I warned you it granted immortality, but it would only last as long as our contract, before mutating into... well, this." Bringing the knife to his face, I traced the puffy bags under his eyes and the hollows of his gaunt cheeks with the cold blade. The miasma, it's already taken a heavy toll, hasn't it? Goosebumps spread across his sweat-soaked skin, his fingers trembling as I guided the blade down, down along his throat. Wet gasps escaped on an abrupt whimper as I sliced through his damp shirt, exposing the pallid chest underneath. "No! This is your fault! You did this to me!" Mr. Weller lashed out as a distinct ammonia scent permeated the space. "You! It was you who tempted me, you bitch!" "Oh, you humans, you are such a sanctimonious lot," I chuckled darkly. "So pious, despite the way your moral compass spins amid greed and corruption. So explain your altruistic intentions of spending your windfall on a trip to the islands instead of your ailing wife's treatments, Molten rage flared in Mr. Weller's eyes. 10 years ago, I'd run my fingers through his soul as I bound him to his new fate. Did he really think I'd be so oblivious to his true intentions? Well, delusions of piety don't hinder us devils, I said briskly, pressing the blade against his chest. So, let's finish this, shall we? Mr. Weller's features twisted with malice, a muttered slur garbled as another coughing fit seized him. I'm sorry, what was that? I said with sugary sweetness, tilting my ear to him.
You bitch!
He raged, spitting at me in defiance. Oh, Mr. Weller. A venomous grin split my face as twin ivory fangs descended like daggers. I wiped away the slimy insult. There is no need for foreplay this late in the game. With a quick thrust, I drove the knife between his ribs. Mr. Weller's eyes flared in surprise, the hatred there replaced with pain as the blade pierced his thundering heart. Hearkening the call to feed, my own hungry soul rose to attention, its amber glow filling my eyes to cast light upon Mr. Weller's terror as I drove the blade in deeper. A smattering of dark blood covered his lips, his broken body circling the drain. His soul grew eager to cast off the chains of its ruined cage. I tossed the blade aside, my jaw tightening as a wave of nausea washed over me. The next part was always the worst. Plunging my fingers into his chest, I grit my teeth against the squelching sounds as I dug into his heart for the tether between his mind and body. The coppery scent of blood mixing with the need to feed was almost unbearable. Nausea bubbled up, dry heaves threatening to make a bad situation worse as I started an old incantation. But my focus crystallized when a shock pulsed between my fingers as his eyes took on a murky amber glow. Eyes weren't just windows to the soul, but the fire escape too, especially for those who wanted their freedom. The final lines rolled off my tongue, the soul flaring just a moment before Mr. Weller's fresh corpse fell limp upon the table. Now unfettered, the soul rose to coalesce before my eyes. Its muddiness did not come from the soul itself, but from the sinister darkness that surrounded it, its countless tendrils writhing like inky snakes, trying to wring the goodness from its host. My lip curled in disgust, but there was little time to waste. This polluted soul's complacency would not last. I felt its attention sharpen on me as it hearkened the call of my own soul. A warm wave of eager expectation that flowed through my mind and bloomed in my chest as I parted my lips. Cold and slimy, the soul slithered over my tongue like a worm, its rotten, sickeningly sweet taste spreading in my mouth. I hurried to gulp it down and tensed against the urge to retch. Tainted souls were disgusting. Seconds later, the contract was complete. The beer mark's sedation waned, and Mr. Weller's soul became aware and started to resist. Nausea hit me like a truck, a dangerous rebuttal to the filth I'd just swallowed. I clapped a hand over my mouth as the tethers of my soul seized upon the new tainted energy, dragging it into the depths where its corruption could be purified until it was fit for synthesis with the rest. Shaken and woozy, I took a shuddering breath. Oh, big mistake. I broke into a cold sweat, the cloying stench of death having mixed with the coppery scent of blood to create a noxious concoction that singed my lungs with every breath. The taste of soul rot lingered on my tongue, the bile burning up my throat. Air. I needed air. Feet pounding up the stairs and down the hall, I lurched through the front door and out onto the wooden porch, where the crisp autumn breeze swept over me, picking up a flurry of gold and red leaves as it weaved through the surrounding forest. I sucked down big gulps of fresh air as the wind caressed my face, wicking away the sweat. Jittery and queasy, I doubled over with my hands on my knees. Oh, how I hated this. For a cave Artesian to be so repulsed by feeding as to almost lose her meal was repugnant, and that was to say nothing of the reviled vampire blood that coursed through my veins. On the front porch, I collapsed into the sun-bleached wooden rocker and looked up to the sky where sweeping ribbons of pink and gold painted the sky. All I wanted was to go home and sleep through the first few days of purification, but still, there was too much to do before nightfall. A gust of wind followed me inside, the cloying stench of death dissipating as I washed up at the rusty kitchen sink. Mr. Weller's blood circled the drain, reminding me of the night I descended upon this dilapidated cottage with a contract to close. In the end, the owner who, like Mr. Weller, had tried to deal and dash, met his end downstairs, effectively turning this place into something of a occupational park. While its windows were broken, the roof ruined, and the wood rotten, this cottage's isolation made it perfect for closing contracts like Mr. Weller's in secret. And Bellumbra knew my survival depended on secrecy because, well, like the murder earlier, my very existence was illegal. Tape, tarp, gloves, concealment talismans, and cleaning supplies were but a few of the items I was carrying down into the basement when a sharp chirrup cut through the silence. The shock almost sent me tumbling down the steps. My phone. Just my damn phone. I gingerly made my way down the rest of the way, setting the items on the table nearby. Pressed for time, I was tempted to let it go to voicemail, but glanced back at the fresh lump of flesh on the steel table. Well, it wasn't like Mr. Weller had anywhere else to be tonight. Hey, what's up? I said, pinning the phone between my ear and shoulder as I pulled on a pair of gloves.